Lesson 8. Look for an outcome where all can win. How do you find an outcome or solution to a conflict or dispute that everyone can say yes to? Sometimes it seems far easier to let someone else decide what should happen next. When we're in dispute and can't agree on the way forward, we often ask someone else to make a decision for us. This might be done in the context of a formal court action or a tribunal hearing, but often with children they ask their parents to make a decision, or you might turn to your boss if you're having a problem at work. But the reality is that if you do ask a court to make a decision for you, then one person is usually deemed to have won and the other to have lost. But it doesn't have to be like that. Winning should be about getting what we need at the same time as helping others to get what they need. Let's skip back to the book again. In the book, there's a story about a family company. Jim joined the business straight after university with an expectation that he would eventually take over when his father, Arthur, retired. But Arthur has clung on to power, passing his 65th and then his 70th birthday, still working and still heading up the company. And so a conflict has developed as Jim has plotted and schemed behind his back to force Arthur to go and allow him at last to take up his rightful place in the company. Jim is determined to win. But what does winning actually mean? And why are we so desperate to win? One of the key problems is that we tend to equate conflict with contest, and our need to win takes precedence over resolving the conflict itself. What happens is that we begin to take inappropriate action to deal with the conflict. In Jim's case, an underhand campaign to force Arthur to leave. But in another situation, it might easily be shouting or behaving aggressively, sulking, or any of the other signs of conflict that we discussed earlier. The part of us that wants to win and be right all the time now not only wants to win the original conflict, but in addition has to prove that the action we've just taken is also totally justified and right. Why do we want to win so badly? We want to win because we are programmed to survive. As we discussed in an earlier lesson, the fight or flight response primes us to react instinctively to immediate threats. It's designed to protect us from danger and death, and creates both alertness and fear that prompt us to act in self-preservation. But if we perceive someone's behaviour towards us as a threat, we will react accordingly, even if that's not what was intended. This instinctive desire to win may be much stronger in some people than in others because of their own worldview. Remember, we talked about that in an earlier lesson too. Things they have seen and experienced earlier in their lives. Talking in a podcast interview that I made with the international athlete Chris Akabusi, he discussed how his overriding drive and motivation to win may have come from his time in a children's home where he had to fight his corner to survive. The trouble with winning is that someone else has to lose. And whilst this is the desired outcome in sport, a win-lose result in life or in business more often than not ends up with a relationship being damaged or destroyed and a great deal of time, energy and even money being spent. As we saw in Lesson 2, the instinctive drive to win can be so strong that if conflict is allowed to escalate, one person may become so hell-bent on winning that nothing else matters, even if he ends up destroying himself as well. Here's another interesting thing about winning. Sometimes it can be a complete anticlimax. One of the things I have noticed is that people often strive for months or years to win, and then when they do, they don't feel nearly as happy and satisfied as they thought they would. Let's go back to Jim in the book. All of a sudden, at the age of 75, Arthur did what Jim had been hoping and plotting and scheming for. He retired, leaving Jim at last to take over the family business. But 3 months later, sitting in his new office, Jim wonders what all the fuss was about. He doesn't feel quite as pleased and proud as he thought he would. Jim has dreamed for so long of taking over the business from his father, and now he has what he wanted. but the reality doesn't live up to his expectations. His subsequent depression and withdrawal is the final straw for his long-suffering wife, Celia. Sometimes in a mediation, when I ask people what outcome they hope for from their conflict or dispute, rather than what they want to win, they're quite stuck for an answer. Winning, in their minds, is often about being proved right after a long legal fight, or obtaining justice, a matter of principle. However, this is before they have understood the difference between positions and needs and interests that we explored earlier. Once they begin to explore below the surface of their dispute and discover what's really important to them, winning can start to take on a new meaning. If we were to ask Jim what outcome he really wanted from his long-running conflict with his father about his role in the family business, he might reflect that status was important to him, that at the age of 40 he no longer wants to be seen as the office junior, so that it isn't the job of chairman itself that he finds so attractive, but the effect that would have on his self-esteem. He might also like a better work-life balance and more quality time with his family, all of which have suffered as he has striven to gain what he thought he wanted. And what about Jim's father, Arthur? What might be behind his desire to hold on to the role of company chairman for so long? Perhaps there's an issue of status for him too, or a dread of feeling useless after so long at the top. Or maybe he's worried that Jim doesn't have all the skills he needs to help the company survive in a different world to when he started the business. So, instead of a simple win-lose scenario, it suddenly becomes possible to search for solutions that meet the needs and concerns of both Jim and Arthur. Maybe a consultancy role for Arthur, or management training for Jim. Delegation of some of the tasks to free up time for Jim and his family. Suddenly, it is possible for both to win. And here's another interesting fact. Wanting and needing to have things work out well for everyone involved is apparently a trait of life's most successful survivors. In his book, The Survivor Personality, Al Siebert describes people who automatically seek out opportunities to meet everyone's needs as being life's best survivors. And Ruth Benedict, a cultural anthropologist, describes them as synergistic humans. She describes a spectrum where, at one end, any act or skill that advantages the individual is at the expense of the others. That's low synergy. Whereas at the other end, any act or skill that advantages the individual and at the same time others, that's high synergy. So, do you have high synergy in your dealings with others? My belief after many years of mediating is that winning should be about empowering rather than overpowering others. Wanting and needing to have things work out well for everyone involved. That means looking for an outcome that meets our own and others' needs and interests. So, how do you begin to look for solutions where all can win? Once you've done the groundwork outlined earlier in the workbook and have identified the people who need to be involved to reach resolution, the key issues that need to be discussed, the potential costs if these issues are not resolved, the needs, interests, fears and concerns of each person, the priorities for each person, what's most, least important, then you can begin to explore the possible solutions that might work for both or all of the people involved. So, start by filling in the exercise in the workbook and listing all the things that need to be taken into account for a successful and lasting solution. Of course, the more this is based on what those involved have actually told you, rather than your guesses of what might be important to them, the better the solution is going to be. However, it may be that in the beginning you are completing this exercise to help you get an overview of the conflict and to try looking at the problem from a different perspective. So in the workbook you'll find a table with three columns: my needs and interests, their needs and interests, and then possible solutions. The idea is that you fill in each column, my needs and interests, and their needs and interests, and then you could start to list ideas for possible solutions that would meet as many as possible of the needs and interests of both of you. One way to do this is with a technique called brainstorming. Think of as many options for resolution as possible and ask everyone else involved for their ideas too. It's best to agree that no one is allowed to judge another's ideas or suggestions while you brainstorm. Also agree that no idea is too silly to suggest and that quantity matters more than quality, i.e. the more ideas the better. Each person should be encouraged to add to or improve the ideas of others rather than criticise or reject them. Every person and their ideas should be regarded as having equal worth. Then, when you've completed the task, take a much more detailed look at each of the options and begin to analyse which of them are acceptable in whole or in part and how they would work in practice. Big question here is, can everyone say yes? At the end of the day, you are looking for a solution that everyone involved can say yes to and be committed to following through on. So let's just summarise what we've learnt in this lesson. We've learnt that the desire to win is linked to our instinct to survive. That winning creates a win-lose situation, which can damage relationships. And that wanting and needing to have things work out well for everyone involved is a much better focus. Remember, taking time to think about what outcome you really want, both in the short and the long term, can be more important than responding to the instinctive desire to win at all costs.